Welcome back to the window. This is our March recap episode. We had a lot of interesting games in March. We had CAF AFCON qualifying. We had CONCACAF Nations League, the conclusion of the CONCACAF Nations League. And we also had the start to UEFA qualifying. Before we get into the review, but just wanted to say hi. It's been a while since we've had a recap episode, really since the World Cup, that we've been recapping international matches. So looking forward to getting into it. Joe, how are you?
I'm good. I'm doing real good. How are you?
I'm excited to talk about CONCACAF. I'm excited to talk about Euro qualifying. I'm excited to talk about teams qualifying for the Africa Cup of Nations. So let's get into it.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so to kick off this show, we're going to start with CONCACAF. The 2022-23 CONCACAF Nations League group stage came to a conclusion in the March window. We have the four finalists coming from League A. It's going to be the United States facing Mexico in the semifinals. It's going to be Panama facing Canada in the other semifinals. These four teams, of course, also qualified for the Gold Cup. In addition, coming from League A and qualifying for the Gold Cup are Jamaica, Costa Rica, Honduras, and El Salvador. So eight teams coming from League A going to the Gold Cup. But I think really the big highlight here is that despite people thinking there's no way it could happen, the USA is going to play Mexico in the Nations League semifinal in June. Did you expect that to happen?
Well, as you said, you know, I think a lot of people, you know, who it's either going to be a semi or a final, right? So, yeah. Well, shocker. And they just played each other a couple of days ago, too. So, you know, they just can't seem to get enough of each other, I guess.
Yeah. So Mexico really fell flat in this window. They defeated Suriname 2-0, but they were not able to defeat Jamaica at home. They still, even with a win, based on if they had won by one or two goals, based on where they're at on goal difference, it still wouldn't have even mattered. So Mexico finished on 8 points. And I apologize, I take that back. Had Mexico won, they would have been, I believe, the 2 or 3 seed. The United States would have played Canada. But yeah, so Mexico, them drawing against Jamaica at home resulted in the USA Mexico semifinal. So I wanted to talk about Mexico for a little bit because they're a team that we talked about throughout the World Cup qualifying, at the World Cup. And it seems like they are not really head and shoulders above the pack with the United States as they had been for many, many years. Do you get that sense with Mexico that they're struggling and kind of falling back towards the pack with these other CONCACAF teams?
Yeah, a little bit. I would agree. I think, you know, we've mentioned it a little bit before, but they their league is kind of struggling right now. And that is obviously going to play into the national team a little bit. So, you know, new coach, has he had time to bed in his system? Probably not. It's probably a little too early to say. But still, you know, you have a lot of familiar faces on that team and they know how to play with each other. And so you kind of have come to expect a little bit more, especially, you know, from past years where they were basically the kings of CONCACAF, mm-hmm. You know. And so, yeah, it's a little surprising, although I do have to say with the Jamaica game, I mean, Jamaica played them very, very well. Yeah. That was a fantastic game. Some really,
it really
good
was. It really was. And had Jamaica won, Jamaica would have qualified even ahead, at least secured that spot with a draw. But that was, I think, one of my favorite games, if not my favorite, from League A this window.
Yeah. Yeah, it was solid. Yeah, it was a fun game to watch. And like, yeah, those goals, some of those goals were just incredible. So, yeah, it was a good watch. But yeah, I mean, Mexico, it does seem like they faded a little bit. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I would expect it to last. I mean, I think, you know, they do have a great structure in place in their country. So, you know, I would expect them to come roaring back at some point. You know, I just don't know. They do seem to be in a little bit of a slump right now. So. Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the best team in CONCACAF right now?
Oh, man. Are you going to put me on the spot like that?
We just started. I'm just going to ease into it.
Ah, that's a really good question. I was pretty happy with right now. I think you have to look at either Canada or the US. I think those are obvious too, right? Like, I don't think Costa Rica is there yet, although I do think that they're a team that has a lot of potential. I just think they have a coach that's standing in the way. I think Jamaica with their new coach is an interesting project, and I'm kind of hoping to see them take off a little bit. Canada dismantled Honduras. You know, it's between those two teams.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's fair. I'll lean a little towards the US. I think just the talent that's come into the squad and has continued to come into the squad. I think they're still in the process of really figuring it out, trying to figure out, okay, who is really our goal scorer. And I think their upside is higher than any other team in CONCACAF. I think they're probably playing as well as anyone. But I think the USA definitely has potential to really assert themselves as the best team. Canada's interesting because I don't know. Canada, to me, they were on such a quick ascension where it was kind of like, is Canada going to break through for a while? And Canada was incredible in World Cup qualifying. And I almost wonder if they not, I don't want to say peaked, but they rose really quickly. And I wonder how much better or how much higher they can go. That's my concern with Canada. But that being said, I do think Canada is a really good team. Like I certainly think that when we look at the Gold Cup, they will be right there in terms of favorites to win it. So yeah. I think they're doing the right things. I think that, you know, we need to see how much more Canada can get out of their players. I think the USA can get a lot more out of their players. And so that's kind of where I think those two teams are right now.
I think that's a good analysis. Yeah. We might get into it later, but I mean, speaking about Canada and their Gold Cup run, I mean, they should definitely get out of that group.
Yeah.
I mean, they got the easiest draw of everybody, I think.
Yes.
You know, so how much are we really going to learn from that? I don't know. hard to say, right? But they do seem to be, you know, reaching far and wide to try to find, you know, dual nationals or, you know, individuals who could come in and represent. And as we've already talked about in the past, you know, they have a structure in place now. They have a set identity, you know, that they want to play with, which comes down to Herdman, you know. It's good to watch, and I think you're onto something. You know, have they hit their ceiling, or is there more that they can do? You know, I'm not really sure.
So. Yeah. So I think it'll be interesting because I think this Gold Cup, which, as you mentioned, we'll come back to in a little bit once we get through the Nations League. I think this Gold Cup is probably their first Gold Cup where they're going into it and thinking, we've got as good a chance as anyone. I don't think the last edition they were there yet, but I think they definitely have the belief that they can be the best in CONCACAF.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so those are some of the teams at the top. The Nations League finals will take place in June. So the two semifinals, the USA, Mexico, Panama, Canada, and then the final will also take place in June. So the 2022-2023 edition of the Nations League will conclude with that. Because of the format change with the CONCACAF Nations League, no team was relegated out of League A, and likewise, no team was relegated out of League B. The four teams that did finish bottom of their group, Suriname, Martinique, Curaçao, and Grenada, they're not into the Gold Cup yet, but they are in the Gold Cup playoffs. So those four teams will be in the Gold Cup playoffs. Those will also take place in June. They'll be joined by four winners from League B, and four winners from League. I'm sorry, not winners. Excuse me. They'll be joined from the second place teams in League B, and the winners of each group in League C in the Gold Cup playoffs. So there will be 12 teams that will contest those. We'll also come back to that after we get through League B and League C. So let's shift over to League B. And yeah, so League B, I think we've talked about a lot over the course of the show, and really, I think was the best competition of all three leagues. Just really, when it came down to the very end, who would ultimately qualify for the Gold Cup, who would get promoted, who would get that shot to qualify for the Copa America. League B was exciting, and I thought it was really, really enjoyable. Did you watch a lot of League B? What were your thoughts? Would you agree with the consensus that that League B was the league to watch in the CONCACAF Nations League?
Yes, I do agree with that consensus. Was I able to watch a lot? I caught as much as I could with three little ones. So I did. We were just talking about this before. I did catch the Nicaragua Trinidad game in Group C, right? From League B. And what were some of the other ones? I remember watching Guatemala. I can't remember who they were playing, but they were going crazy when they scored.
The French Guiana,
Yeah,
probably.
I think that's what it
Yeah.
was. Yeah, and they ended up I think they ended up crushing that game. It's like 4-0
Yeah.
or something, I
Yeah,
think.
they did.
And Rubio Rubin, who used to he switched his international allegiance from the US to Guatemala, scored the opener. So that was good for him. I think he was I don't know if that was his first goal, but he hasn't scored too many for them, so that was a big one for him.
Yes. So Guatemala qualified, Cuba qualified, Haiti qualified, Nicaragua qualified. So interestingly, with both Nicaragua and Guatemala qualifying, I looked this up. This is the first edition of the Gold Cup. And of course, the Gold Cup was not always 16 teams, but this is going to be the first edition of the Gold Cup where only one team in North Central America combined did not qualify. So Belize is the only nation that didn't qualify. Every other North American, Central American nation has qualified for the Gold Cup, and that is the first time that has happened. So Guatemala, it has been a long journey for them to get back because they had some issues with their federation for a number of years. CONCACAF really pushed them to the bottom of the Nations League. They had to work their way up. Even in qualifying for the World Cup, they've had challenges and really had to deal with a lot of penalties as a result of that. So it's been a long time coming for Guatemala, and I'm sure they're thrilled to be back in the Gold Cup.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's good to see them back. They were once a staple, I guess you could
Yep.
say, right? And so they'd fallen off a cliff. And well, I forget the guy's name. Ruiz, I think maybe was his last name. But man, he was a pain in the butt. Like every time the US played him, he would always come up with a freaking goal. It's just so yeah, they're definitely a CONCACAF-y team.
Yeah.
You know, and if you know what that means, then you know what we're talking about. You know, but that's just their style. That's just how they play, right? And you know, at some point you have to kind of respect it. You know, you can hate it all you want, but you got to respect it. So it's good. It's good to have them back. And yeah, I'm a big fan of their goalkeeper, actually. He was playing in Norway up until recently, and then I think he lost his spot on the team and he hasn't popped up anywhere yet. But so something for me to keep an eye on, I suppose. But he's a very good keeper, especially he's key for Guatemala for sure. He's put in some really good performances. I think the game this last, who was it against? My mind is forgetting right now, but anyways, maybe it was against Belize. I think it was the first game of this last window against Belize.
Yeah.
And I think they won it like,
they won 2-1. Like
2-1. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he came up with some really good saves, like tipping it over, like man of the match performance. So anyways, I don't want to go off on too much of a tangent, but that's a player to look out for, in my opinion. For Guatemala.
Guatemala is tough, and I think they're definitely among that top 16 in CONCACAF, and I certainly have the potential not only to qualify for the Gold Cup but make some noise. They're always a team that had been competitive and really kind of got shuffled to the back, so it'll be interesting and fun to see how they perform at the Gold Cup, but excited for them to be back as well. I think out of all four teams that qualified, Cuba, Haiti, Nicaragua, Guatemala, I think the Nicaragua qualification was probably the most surprising, because they went into the final match, and for me, this was really the match of the window in CONCACAF, Nicaragua at Trinidad. And Trinidad and Tobago, they needed a win. If they had won, they would qualify for the Gold Cup. Nicaragua needed a draw, and Nicaragua was able to hold on and got that 1-1 draw. And Nicaragua is back in the Gold Cup. And, you know, interestingly, I think probably them and Belize, I would say, are probably the two Central America teams that you hear the least about. And Nicaragua had missed out on the last Gold Cup. They'd only been to three. They were in 2009, 2017, 2019. And then prior to 2009, they hadn't been to the CONCACAF final, whatever it was called, a CONCACAF championship previously, since 1967. So Nicaragua is a team that is not always thought of as a powerhouse, and I think it was a bit of a surprise that they took down Trinidad. What do you think? Did you expect them to hold on, get at least a draw, and qualify?
Well, I think when it came down to that game, I had the belief that they could do it. So I don't know if I would say I expected it, but because kind of watching their whole qualification campaign, you know, it actually, in my opinion, came down to that very first game that they had a year ago against Trinidad and Tobago at home, where they beat them. And that was Trinidad's only loss this Nations League. Right. And Nicaragua actually went undefeated. They didn't lose a game. They drew twice and won four games. So, you know, the belief was there that they could do it. I think it's exciting. A little bit surprising, I would say.
Yeah.
You know, but whoever gets Trinidad in the playoffs, I think, is going to have a tall task on their hands.
I think so. And we know who they're playing, so we won't spoil the surprise, but we will come back to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, Trinidad is definitely a team that you look at and you think they're probably among the 16 best in CONCACAF.
Yeah.
When you look at the top 16, and of course only 15 teams are going from CONCACAF, which we will also talk about, you would typically expect them to be in that mix, and they just could not find the winner at home. Exciting finish, and I feel like we will probably ultimately see Trinidad at the Gold Cup, but For me, I was not expecting Nicaragua to pull off that surprise. I think that was probably one of the bigger surprises of really, I think, the whole CONCACAF Nations League.
A good one, though.
Absolutely, absolutely, and deserving, right? Like as you mentioned, they went undefeated in League B. Only them and Haiti were undefeated. They were the only two teams in League B. So, clearly the talent is there. I'm going to be keeping an eye on them because it's not a team that was really on my radar. And yeah, I think that they're there, and I think you need to start paying attention a little bit more to what Nicaragua's doing.
Yeah, very domestic based team, as a lot of CONCACAF teams are. Only in this last window, they only had four international players called into their, So yeah, that makes it, even more surprising, right? Because Trinidad has, you would say, a deeper squad perhaps. So.
And I think, you look at some of these Nicaraguan players, and we've talked about with a number of different teams, really, as we were talking about the World Cup and some of the different makeups of particularly some of the Asian teams, the players know each other. A lot of them play together on a regular basis, and sometimes that becomes an advantage, and I feel like they definitely took advantage of that. All right. So the teams that finished in second place in League B are also headed to the Gold Cup playoffs. So again, from League A, the third place finishers, Suriname, Martinique, Curaçao, Grenada, they're going to be joined by Guadeloupe, Guyana, Trinidad and Tobago, and French Guiana. Those are the four League B teams. And then lastly, from League C, the winners of each of the groups in League C will get promoted to League B. They will also be in the Gold Cup playoffs. And those four teams are St. Martin, St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, and Puerto Rico. I think three of the four coming into the final match day were expected: St. Kitts and Nevis, St. Lucia, and Puerto Rico. But Bonaire really crashed and burned. They were in a great spot. They needed a win out of two matches or two draws. Either would have worked, and they got neither. They lost both matches. They got destroyed by St. Martin 6-1, and then lost at home to the Turks and Caicos Islands. What did you think of Bonaire's collapse in League C?
Yeah, well, let me flip the question on you. What did you think?
I didn't expect that for sure. Just the results heading into the final match day, I think certainly did not expect that they conceded eight in the final two games. In the first four games, they had conceded three goals. So they had conceded three goals. They scored 10 goals in the first four matches. So I don't know. It's just one of those things where you have to wonder, is it just a team that has not had enough experience and really just were not prepared? I don't know. I did not expect St. Martin to really make that run and win two matches and ultimately leapfrog Bonaire and win that group. It was definitely a huge surprise for me.
No, I'm looking through some of the results right now, and yeah, I mean, St. Martin 6-1, as you mentioned, that's substantial, right? Like, that's what flipped the script. And yeah, that's
And even heading into the final match day, despite that horrible result, had they defeated Turks and Caicos, they were through. It didn't matter what St. Martin did. It was in their hands. And a man who is always a threat and does not get enough credit across CONCACAF is that man, Billy Forbes, the captain of the Turks and Caicos national team. He is a tremendous player and seems to always come up big when the Turks and Caicos need it. And of course, you know, they didn't win promotion, but they really showed a lot of fight getting back and taking out Bonaire.
Yeah. Okay, so do you think St. Martin's going to make any noise in the prelims?
Not expecting them to. I think let's talk about the matchups now with those 12 teams, considering where things stand, because I think the one team that we highlighted for a while is Trinidad and Tobago. But so the 12 teams, again, Trinidad and Tobago is going to play against Guadeloupe. Guyana is going to play against Grenada. Martinique against St. Lucia. Suriname, Puerto Rico. Curacao against St. Kitts and Nevis. And then St. Martin's got French Guiana. And I think that's going to be, I think it has the potential to get a bit ugly. But French Guiana also did not have the best finish or best campaign. They drew against the Dominican Republic. They got destroyed 4-0 by Guatemala. I'm not expecting much from St. Martin, but I didn't expect much previously, and they proved me wrong. So, I think anything can happen. You're going to need to win two games, but they're in. And I think if they somehow defeat French Guiana, playing the winner of Curacao and St. Kitts and Nevis, Curacao's a team that's been struggling, I would say. They, similar to Canada, really ascended for a while, and I think they stalled out a little bit and are struggling to get themselves back together. So could St. Martin do it? Yeah, I think they could.
Yeah. Well, that would be exciting. Curacao, going back to them, yeah, they didn't have the greatest window, I think, that they were hoping for. But I do think, yeah, I think it's going to be a tough task for any of St. Kitts and Nevis, French Guiana, mm-hmm. and St. Martin to get past Curacao. I think Curacao would be the favorite there. I don't know if your numbers agree, but
yeah, they do. but French Guiana, I think that French Guiana and Curacao, in terms of quality, are not super far off. But I do think that Curacao really should come out of that foursome.
Agreed.
But St. Kitts and Nevis, I mean, they're a team that we also have not highlighted too much throughout the process. They kind of got stuck in League C. They're with Aruba and St. Martin, the French side of the island. Probably not at the most comparable level of quality. I think St. Kitts and Nevis is clearly the most talented team among those three. So I don't know. I think St. Kitts and Nevis is a team that has performed better, but hasn't really been tested recently. So I don't know. It's an interesting foursome in terms of where teams are at, and can St. Kitts and Nevis and St. Martin ride that momentum, because Curacao and French Guiana are really coming into this without momentum, and the other two teams won their group feeling good. And I'm curious to see how much of that kind of Nations League performance really carries over into June for those teams.
Yeah, same here. So, it'll be, yeah.
I'm looking forward to that one. Let's talk about one of the other foursome. So we have Martinique against St. Lucia. We have Suriname against Puerto Rico. I think Martinique should win this. I think Martinique should come out of that foursome. But what are your thoughts on some of those teams and where they stack up against each other?
Yeah, I actually like Suriname
Okay.
coming out of this foursome. I think, yeah, I just think that, yeah, that's my pick, I guess. I think talent wise,
Yeah.
as you mentioned, a lot of these teams, the disparity in talent is not like that, right? So that's what
Yeah.
makes it exciting because either any team is really able to, pull an upset, if you will.
Yeah.
But I like Suriname in this one just because, some of their past experience, I think is going to play a factor here. Can't see Puerto Rico putting up much of a fight. I think we could see a Martinique Suriname kind of final, for that final spot.
Yeah.
And yeah, I'll ride
Yeah.
Suriname.
I think both of those teams, Suriname and Martinique, if it is one of those two, I think they're two teams that are going to be really tough at the Gold Cup if they qualify. I don't think anybody's really going to want to be drawn with Suriname. They're a team that's continued to be tough. They ended up in the Gold Cup playoffs here, but Suriname is a good team. They're a good team. They only got 1 point in the qualifying with Mexico and Jamaica, but they're always tough, and I would not be surprised to see them make it at all. I think they definitely have a good shot. We could actually see, based on how these foursomes are grouped, you could see the three winners being the three South American teams in Guyana, Suriname, and French Guiana. So it will be interesting to see if any of the Caribbean teams are able to qualify, or if there's a clean sweep among the South American nations.
Yeah.
So,
How interesting, isn't that? Yeah.
yeah.
No, just going back to Suriname, I mean, I guess to try to back up my argument, they've really, for me, it comes down to who they've got in their squad, right? So, Diego Bisasuar, right? He plays at PAOK, right? You've got Geraldo Becker, who is doing really great things at Union Berlin, right? In fact, I'm pretty sure that this window, maybe not. No, because he's got six caps, so it
There
wasn't
was there
his.
was there
Wasn't.
was something about him, though. Was he going to actually play for Suriname?
Yeah.
And he ultimately decided he was going to, but it was not a certainty for some time.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, right, Kelvin Leerdam, who's at LA Galaxy, right? That's kind of a name that I'm
Yeah.
familiar with, right? But you've got players from at Ferencváros in Hungary, at Groningen, who they're
Yeah.
having a really bad season. But anyways, the point is, I think there's some depth there, and as they lean on their
Agreed.
Dutch, their Dutch was Florian Josephszoon, right? Like that's a I think people might be familiar with that name, or at least I am because of his Eredivisie. I mean, he's back playing there. So anyways, I just think that that's a strong team, and as you mentioned, they're a
Agreed.
tough team for other people to face. So,
They're a team to watch, I think, also in just in terms of, as you mentioned, like, will they find some other dual nationals that they can bring into the mix? I think they're really a team that is you're going to see ascend in CONCACAF pretty soon. I think they're definitely a team that's on that verge of, I've heard a lot of chatter from people like, your rankings are have Suriname way too low. And it's like, maybe. we're looking at results that have already occurred, but I think people are really buying into what Suriname is doing and who they're bringing into the team and really just the potential that they have. And so while our rankings and projections don't yet reflect that, I do think that's a team that you will see start to move up and really start to make some moves in CONCACAF. All right. The third and final foursome, we have Trinidad against Guadeloupe, and then we have Guyana against Grenada. And I think that Trinidad is going to run away with this one.
I do too.
In my mind, they are definitely the strongest of those four teams. They're the highest ranked team. So in terms of just drawing the path, CONCACAF broke the 12 teams into seeded teams and non-seeded teams. So six teams were seeded, six teams were not seeded. Trinidad had the number one ranking of the seeded teams. Guyana, who's in the other branch, intentionally, that's how CONCACAF paired it. They get paired with Guyana. So Trinidad was effectively the one seed. Guyana was the sixth seed. And so those two teams were grouped together to really give Trinidad a little bit of an advantage. And then the pairings from the second pot were just drawn at random. So Guadeloupe was actually the highest ranked team among the non-seeded teams. But it does still feel like Trinidad really is the best team here. Do you think any of the other three, Guadeloupe, Guyana, Grenada, can pull an upset and knock them off?
No. But it would be, it would be something if that happened. So I mean, yeah, I just can't see it. I have a really hard time seeing that. What about you?
I would have to agree. I think Guadeloupe is going to be a tough match. I don't think it's going to be a sure thing by any means, but I would really be surprised if someone was able to knock off Trinidad in that group. And I think that, I mean, ultimately that's kind of what CONCACAF was going for, was trying to give the teams that were the highest ranked in their rankings a little bit more of an advantage. So I think that result was achieved. So who are your three picks? You had.
Trinidad, Suriname, Curacao.
All right. I'm going to go with Trinidad, Martinique, and French Guiana.
All right.
So I think Trinidad is, I think, the only consensus pick, but yeah, definitely some interesting things going on there. The Gold Cup playoffs are going to take place in June at the same time as the Nations League finals take place, and from those three paths we'll get the final three teams. So those three teams will comprise the 16 team field at the Gold Cup. To recap the teams that have qualified again, it is from CONCACAF: Panama, Jamaica, El Salvador, Mexico, the United States, Haiti, Costa Rica, Canada, Honduras, Cuba, Nicaragua, and Guatemala. People may be surprised to hear this if you have not been paying as much attention, but good friends Qatar will be back in the Gold Cup. I think it is the final tournament that they have bought their way into. They're really, in every confederation, what they did effectively purchase two entries, so to speak, to the Gold Cup. So, Qatar is going to be participating in the CONCACAF Gold Cup sponsored by Qatar Airways. And this will be likely the last time you see that. But are you expecting much from Qatar in the Gold Cup? They had a pretty strong showing at the last edition.
I don't know. That's a really good question. There's some changes that have gone on with that team, right? They've got a new coach in. I haven't actually gone back to really look at kind of their results this last window. So I haven't really checked in on them and done my due diligence yet, which I will do before the Gold Cup starts. But yeah, I mean, I think like they're in Group B with Mexico, Haiti, Honduras. That's not a super easy group, but I think, I think they could be capable of getting out of that group. And that's kind of where I put them, right? Like, to me, I see them kind of, it's either going to be Qatar or Honduras getting out of that group with Mexico. So, how far they go after that, hard to say.
Yeah. I think I'm expecting to see them knock it out of the group. I think there was a lot more momentum ahead of the World Cup when they're really trying to get ready. They didn't effectively qualify. They, qualified as hosts, but I think really the tournaments and participating in these events really across the world really, in my mind, was trying to get the team accustomed to playing world-class opposition, playing teams that are outside of Asia. And there was a goal of let's really make an impact at the World Cup. Now that the World Cup has passed, it feels like it's kind of like, why are they at the Gold Cup? Like, what is the point at this point? I know, sure, they have the Asian Cup coming up as well. But I think I feel like Qatar is not going to be as focused on this Gold Cup. And so I would not be surprised to see them finish last in this group, actually. I think Haiti and Honduras have a lot more to play for. I think Haiti is really a team that I'm hoping to see more from. They've consistently performed well. They've really ran away with their Nations League group. They're pretty high up in our rankings. And I think Haiti is a team that really has not gotten that level of respect yet in CONCACAF that some of the other teams have. So they're a team that I'm going to keep an eye on. But if you're asking me to pick my two teams out of Group B, I think I'm going to go with Mexico and Haiti.
Wow. Okay. All
Yeah.
right. Well, I'm still disrespecting, I guess, a little bit because I don't know. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Yeah, I wasn't expecting that, but good
It's
for
going to
you.
be a competitive group. I think top to bottom, that's probably Group C is good too, but that's probably going to be a really competitive group, I think, top to bottom. Let's talk about Group A a little bit.
Yeah, well, I think Group A could end up being competitive too, because if
Yeah.
Curaçao ends up coming out of that bottom bracket, right,
Yes. Yes.
then I guess either of our picks, honestly, but sticking with mine, I guess, like if Curaçao comes out of Curaçao, Jamaica, US, and Nicaragua, I mean that's a tricky group in any case.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I mean, you have to expect the US is going to qualify and get out of the group. But I think the other three teams definitely have a lot to prove. I mean, Jamaica's a team that they fell short of qualifying for the Nations League finals. They've been playing well, but they haven't really gotten over that hurdle yet. Nicaragua, as we just mentioned a little bit, is really ascending and trying to figure out their way as well. So I think this is going to be an interesting battle. I think it's probably the US, but then I certainly think any of the other three teams could really come out of that group.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this group, actually. There's a lot of good storylines here, right? You already mentioned Nicaragua. Whoever comes out of, what are they, prelim number nine, I guess, maybe is what they're calling it. That could be, Curaçao, or who was your pick? Did you pick French Guiana?
French Guiana.
Yeah, French Guiana. Right. So interesting story there. Jamaica, right, with their new coach and it's the start of a new cycle for them, and they do have a lot of talent in that team. Can they pull it together? Jamaica's had pretty successful gold cups fairly recently,
Yeah,
right? I mean, they
absolutely.
you know so this
Absolutely.
they do tend to like this tournament. So can they repeat that?
Yeah.
So yeah, I think Group A is interesting.
And are you going to get to go to the quarterfinals?
Yeah, it's a good question. The tickets just went on sale today, actually, and I thought about grabbing some, but I did not because they're on a Sunday and I'm occupied on stuff.
It
So,
is
unfortunately.
definitely they chose some interesting locations and interesting venues for the Gold Cup that I think are a little bit different than you would typically see, but I like it. I like that they're switching it up a little bit and not going for more of like the larger stadiums, really trying to kind of bring it really around to a lot of the different MLS cities.
Yeah, I think that's a good thing.
Absolutely. I may get to go to some Group C action. We'll see.
Okay, nice.
Speaking of Group C, Group C's got Costa Rica, Panama, El Salvador, and the winner of Prelim Match 8. And so that is that group where it is. Which one is that actually?
Prelim 8,
Yeah.
winner 8. Yeah. So I said Suriname and you said Martinique.
Martinique. Okay. Yes. So it's that Martinique, Saint Lucia, Suriname, Puerto Rico. So very interesting. You could see, I think that would be a phenomenal group if it is Costa Rica, Panama, El Salvador, Suriname. I think that would be an awesome group. I don't know what to expect out of Costa Rica, Panama, and El Salvador. Every time I think it should be Panama, there's Costa Rica. And every time I think El Salvador is ready to really break through and take that next step, they can't get it done. So I don't know. I don't know if anything is going to change this time around. What do you think about this group? Is it just going to be Costa Rica and Panama again, or are we going to hear from the two other teams that are in the group?
Yeah, I think, yeah, so Panama has had Costa Rica's number recently. Even this last window, they beat them to qualify for the playoffs. El Salvador, yeah, I don't know what's going on with them right now. They didn't quite live up to maybe what everybody was expecting, or actually maybe they did and finished exactly where people thought they would finish.
Yep, they
But
finish well behind the US and ahead of Grenada.
yeah, there you go. So, yeah, I guess when I initially look at this group, I don't see a ton of goals in this group, actually. I see a lot of slugfests. And I could be totally wrong with that. But that's my initial take, I guess. So
I think you would not be alone in that expectation.
yeah.
It typically these are low scoring teams, and 2-1, 1-1, a lot of those types of score lines. If a team doesn't get to 3 goals in any game, any of the 6 games in this group, I don't think that would be a surprise to anyone.
I do think though, you probably do have to kind of initially take Costa Rica and Panama to be the ones to
Yeah.
get out of the group, I think.
Yeah. I think so. I don't know. I'm ready. I'm ready to see some of these other teams overtake that kind of group of 6 to 8 teams at the top of CONCACAF. We just haven't seen it yet. And maybe it's here. Maybe it is Suriname and maybe they start getting things going. I don't know. I think it's going to be Costa Rica and Panama, but some of those games are going to take place in New Jersey, so I may get a chance to see some of those games really at the end of June. So we'll certainly be keeping an eye on that pairing. All right, Group D is Canada, Guatemala, Cuba. And then the winner of Match 7, which is that Trinidad, Guadeloupe, Guyana, Grenada path. So if Trinidad qualifies, as we've both heavily favored them to do, you're looking at Canada, Guatemala, Cuba, and Trinidad and Tobago. And I wouldn't be surprised if Trinidad and Tobago got out of that group as well.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. Yeah, I agree with that. I totally agree with that. I think they're capable of doing that, and I think Canada is going to easily run away with the group. I am excited to see Guatemala back, you know, and I do wonder what they can do. I just don't know if that, if them and Cuba can really do a whole lot, but yeah, I mean, I could be totally off base here.
Canada currently have third behind the USA and Mexico. Guatemala, I've got sixth in CONCACAF. Cuba, I have 11th, and Trinidad and Tobago, I have 12th in CONCACAF. So according to the rankings, this is actually a pretty strong group. But Cuba is definitely a team that I think has flown under the radar a little bit. You know, they're in League B. They did win the group ahead of Guadeloupe, Antigua, and Barbados. They really looked good in League B. And I think because they got off to such a good start, kind of similar to Haiti, I think, where it was not really, really in question whether they were going to win their group. I think they've flown under the radar a little bit. And Cuba's definitely a team that I think we should be keeping an eye on as well, as a team that, you know, not talked about a lot, but if you're looking for a team that, you know, maybe people aren't expecting to necessarily get out of their group, that could, they're a team that I think is certainly capable. But I really think, I mean, looking at this field of 16, I think you're going to find very few, if any, and I'd argue probably zero or one teams total on the field, where in the past teams have gotten really beat up in the group stage. And you've seen some of these teams that look totally overmatched in playing some of the opposition. I don't really get that sense with anybody that's in the field, that any individual team is super overmatched here. Do you?
The two that stick out to me perhaps are Cuba and Haiti, but you know, I could be way off base. I mean, you seem high on both of them, you know, and so, you know, fair credit to you. I mean, if, yeah, that, but those are just kind of the two, I guess, off the top of my head that maybe I'm thinking, like, I could see Canada putting like seven past Cuba, you know, but at the same time, I do hope that you're right and that it's not like that, right? And it's more competitive fields, right? I mean, that's the whole purpose of having the Nations League, to give these teams the opportunity to play more games, so they come into these competitions stronger, and it's a much better offering of a tournament. Absolutely. Right? So, I mean, I'm with you. I do really hope to see a lot of that in terms of, you know, kind of closer games and competitive games, and it's not just, you know, three touches and it's a goal.
Yep. Yeah, so a lot to look forward to. I think we've covered end-to-end CONCACAF here. it's going to be a fun tournament. I'm really looking forward to the Gold Cup this year. I really like the 16-team format versus the 12-team format. I think it allows for some more teams to make it, and really, to your point with the CONCACAF Nations League, and really getting teams exposure, getting them time to play against competition that they're really going to grow from. I think the Gold Cup certainly helps in advancing that as well.
Yeah.
All right. Any last thoughts on CONCACAF before we shift over to Africa?
I think we should mention that you were in Aruba recently.
I was.
And you went to a special location.
That is true. So one of the things that I really enjoy, I'm a traveler. We go to the islands frequently, I would say. But one of the things that I've tried to do over the years is get jerseys of the national team. And a lot of the national teams don't have just an online shop that you can go on, buy them online, and just get them shipped. Some will offer that option, but a lot of them you have to actually go in person and go to the headquarters of the national team. So I had the opportunity to do that this time. Worked with some people at the Federation, made sure that they were there, they had the jerseys available. So I did get to go there and talk to a few people and pick up an Aruba national team jersey. So very cool experience. I've done that in a few countries, and it's always a good time, and enjoy meeting people certainly around the region. So very,
That's cool.
very good time, and the Aruba jersey is awesome. Glad I'm able to add that one to the collection as well.
Yeah, there you go. And so you was that store or how is it set up? Are they headquartered at the stadium?
So the Aruba team, the Aruba headquarters are actually not at the location of the national team stadium. So there is a stadium there, but it's more of like a training ground. But yeah, they just have some offices, and nothing in particular. Like, we've got jerseys in a box in the back here, and that's really it. And it's certainly not like going to like a national team store or anything like that. It's very, local people work there, and that are did just work. That's their career. And so it was nice to meet some of those people. And nothing, no national team players or anything were around training at that point in time, but still cool to get to see really the venues and facilities and everything, and meet some people there.
No, that's awesome. Love
So
it.
it is something I definitely, if I have the opportunity to do, definitely try to do if we're in the vicinity of some of those places. All right. So let's shift over to Africa. So Africa is in the middle of AFCON 2023 qualifying. The 2023 AFCON is actually going to take place in 2024, but they still haven't adjusted the years after the pandemic and everything. So 2023 AFCON qualifying is in match day four. We've concluded. Match day five and six will be taking place in a few months. Ultimately, teams will qualify, and will have the field of 24 for AFCON. So Ivory Coast is hosting this edition of the African Cup of Nations. We now have, in addition to the Ivory Coast, six additional teams that qualified this window: Algeria, Senegal, Morocco, Burkina Faso, Tunisia, and South Africa is back. And I know that, Joe, you're very excited that South Africa is back.
I am excited that South Africa is back. I'm a big Bafana Bafana fan. My wife was down there during 2010 for not only the World Cup, but she was on a teaching abroad thing. So yeah, it kind of runs in our house. So we're fans, I guess you could say. Even though I do try to stay pretty neutral, but I do have a soft spot for South Africa. So yeah, I'm excited to see them back. It came. Man, it came down to the wire,
I know.
but they did it. So
They did. And it's one of those where it's like, you look at South Africa, they're in one of the groups where one of the four teams dropped out. So they're in a three-team group where the top two teams qualified.
yeah.
And it was dicey for a while. It was not certain that they'd be able to qualify, but they got the job done ahead of Liberia and pulled out a 2-1 victory, and they are back at AFCON. And I was surprised looking back. I did not recall particularly about South Africa, but they didn't qualify for the 2021 edition, and they didn't qualify for the 2017 edition. So they had only been in one of the last three AFCON. So I agree. Good to have them back. What do you think? Do you think they are going to show well at the finals? South Africa is a team that I feel like really is not playing at the level of some of the top teams in Africa, but perhaps they're headed in the right direction.
Yeah, I would agree. I think So they have an interesting team. It's very mixed. There's a lot of domestic players, but then there's also a fair amount of players that do play abroad. Even I think a couple over here in MLS actually. But it's all going to come down to the draw, I think, and who they get. But I am hoping that they can kind of show well. I think the fact that they struggled against Liberia, and that's nothing against Liberia. Liberia is actually a fairly decent team too, so yeah, I don't know how they're gonna do. I'm hopeful that they do well. And they're definitely excited that they qualified. There's scenes after the game throwing their coach up in the air and celebrating wildly, right? And like a lot of African nations. They are very bonded. They're a very bonded team, right? They're brothers. So yeah, I'll be very curious to see what they do. South Africa as a whole, I think, needs to do a better job of exporting their talent.
Yeah, I was just going to say the exact same thing where, they're not, I don't think, at the level that they were previously, where really having some of their players play in really good leagues around the world.
So yeah, but they've got guys like Lyle Foster, right? And he popped up this window, I think, with a goal or two, if I'm not mistaken. And he's playing for Burnley, so he's getting coached by Vincent Kompany, and he's going to be back in the Premier League this next year. And so it's there's definitely some talent there, and I think they have the ability of making some noise. I just don't know to what extent that's going to be, and I think a lot of that comes down to the draw, right? So.
And I think it's also a bit circular, where I think some of these continental tournaments really give a lot of clubs the opportunity to see players that they may not see on a regular basis. And you look at you'll see this, not just AFCON, you'll see the World Cup, but these international tournaments give players a chance to shine. And after the tournaments conclude, you see interest in players that perform really well go way up. And a lot of those players then get the opportunity to transfer to bigger clubs. They'll benefit from better facilities, better training, better coaching, and then it makes them better for the national team. So you get this kind of circular impact where South Africa not being at AFCON, a lot of those players may not get that similar exposure that some of the other nations may. And so I think this is a good opportunity for them to hopefully kind of kickstart that cycle and really allow some of the players to show that they've got more talent and really can do more.
No, I totally agree. I totally agree. I think it's been interesting to kind of watch a little bit too. I think we're seeing more and more talented Africans, not just in South Africa, but Africa as a whole, are headed over here with us in MLS, right? And so, yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, South Africa has a couple of those guys that are playing over here. So, yeah.
So, let's go through some of the groups and just talk through kind of where things are. Don't want to spend too much time on each group, but most, if not all, groups have teams that have played four games. There are two match days left. Couple of the groups have three teams in them, like South Africa, as we just mentioned. But Nigeria, Guinea-Bissau, and Group A, they're ahead of Sierra Leone and Sao Tome. Nigeria on 9 points, Guinea-Bissau on 7 points, Sierra Leone on five, Sao Tome on one. The numbers show Nigeria and Guinea-Bissau are really the two favorites there. Anything stick out to you as a reason to expect one of the other two to really pop up and qualify?
No, not really. I wasn't impressed with either of those, and I think, to be honest, I wasn't too impressed with Nigeria either. This window, they're still kind of struggling, and that's a little worrisome. But I do expect them to get the job done, and I'll take Guinea-Bissau out to go as well.
I would agree with that. I think Nigeria has, for a number of years, really underperformed, and it is going to be interesting to see if that trend continues at the AFCON. Group B, Burkina Faso is qualified. Cape Verde is on 7 points. Togo's on two. Eswatini is on two. Burkina's their mainstay. They look good. I think Cape Verde is going to qualify. Are you excited about either of those teams for AFCON?
I am. I do. I'm excited again for Burkina Faso.
Yeah.
I was excited this last one. You know, but again, it's that same storyline, right? Like they still have a very talented team. They still have young players that are coming through. They have players that are playing consistently and playing well in Europe, especially in the top leagues, you know? And so I think, I think they're a team to watch out for sure.
I agree. I think they could actually go pretty far in AFCON. One of the first to qualify. I'm really not surprised by that. They're definitely a really good team that I think you're going to be talking about a lot more among the best in Africa.
Yeah, agreed.
All right. In Group C, we've got Namibia ahead of Cameroon.
So crazy.
Just like we all predicted.
Yeah.
Namibia ahead of Cameroon. What is going on with Cameroon?
That's the question that everybody has, I think, right? Nobody can really seem to like tell. I mean, this is a three-team group, right? So
yeah,
like there is still a potential
now, Cameroon's
danger.
Still gonna qualify. Cameroon is still gonna qualify.
Yeah, most likely. Yeah. Yeah, most likely. But it's not for certain yet. Like, can you imagine? Oh my gosh. But
no, it's Namibia, Cameroon, Burundi, and the top two qualify. And no, I cannot imagine Cameroon not qualifying.
Me neither. But yeah, it's like stranger things have happened, right? It's like, so I don't know. I don't know what's going on with Cameroon. They just the last couple games have just been dreadful. Like, and even really at like even at the World Cup, like their performances, I was kind of like,
I've got Namibia at 96% to qualify and Cameroon at 92%, so they still should be there, but they're limping into the AFCON. They're not really dominating that group as they should be. But Namibia, I mean, I have not been following Namibia that much, and they really had a strong window. They defeated Cameroon. They weren't even playing on home soil, and they defeated Cameroon. And they're definitely a team that I'm going to keep my eye on, because I have not been following them too much, but they've looked really good.
Yeah, I agree. I did catch, I think I caught both or one. I can't remember. But anyways, I did watch them this last window. And I can't really say that a whole lot of like individuals stood out to me. But, you know, they did. They performed well and they got a very valuable win against Cameroon. So, yeah.
Yeah. And I mean, they're right on that precipice for us. Like, I've got them in number 26 in Africa right now. So I think they're right on that precipice of being, you know, among that top group of teams to qualify. I probably thought they would finish second and struggle with Burundi a little bit, but not to be. I mean, they clearly showed that they are the better team. Job is not done yet, but they're very close. All right. Group D, I'm not going to talk about too much. Egypt and Guinea are on 9 points. Right. Malawi and Ethiopia are on 3 points. Egypt and Guinea are in for all intents and purposes. So I don't think, you know, too much surprising there, but those teams are looking really strong.
Are you a little disappointed with Malawi?
I think so. I think for a team that was at the last AFCON and got out of the group stage at the last AFCON. I thought they would have at least been more competitive, but just from a rankings perspective, I didn't expect them to pass Egypt or Guinea. I just thought they would be put up a little more of a fight.
Yeah. They kind of got crushed by Egypt.
Yeah. So, all right. Group E. So, Group E is a little bit interesting because while Ghana leads and they are in great position to qualify, I'd say, it is not Angola that is in second place. It is not Madagascar that is in second place. It is the Central African Republic on 7 points through four matches, and they are in second place in that group. Where did they come from?
Seriously,
Where did they come from? And
they came
this,
from the same place as Namibia.
yeah, they were not on my radar. I will be completely honest. They were not on my radar at all. Central African Republic is a team that had not won a match. They defeated Nigeria in 2021, and then in October 2021, and then prior to that, their last win was November 2019. And they're a team that's just not performed well. And they blanked Madagascar twice, 3-0 and 2-0. And all of a sudden they're in second in that group. So do you think they can get there? Do you think they're going to be able to qualify ahead of Angola?
I like their chances now. I like their chances now. So this is a team that is led, they're captained by Jeffrey Kondogbia. That should be a name that's familiar to a lot of people, right? Playing
Yes.
for Atletico Madrid, right? But
I always forget that he is now aligned with Central African Republic. I always forget that. He's a great player. He's a really a great player.
Yeah, he really is. And he showed it during this window. It was fantastic. So the other player I would point out that I think had a sensational window was this guy Luis Mafuta. So he's 28. He plays in the second division in France, as do a lot of African players. And I'm probably gonna botch this name, but his team is Quivly Rouen. I
I
can't.
think that's perfect.
Yeah, thanks. But yeah, I mean, he popped up with all these goals during this last window, and combined with Kondogbia and a few of their other players. Yeah, it was impressive. I did watch them, and I watched both their games actually. And yeah, I think this could be something special. I think they have the mojo to get there. So I'm excited about that.
Definitely something to keep an eye on. They lost at Angola 2-1, but their final two, right? They're hosting Angola. If they win that, if they win, they're in.
Yeah, exactly.
And so, I don't know if they've determined yet if that match is actually going to be on home soil. I know a lot of the African nations found neutral venues this past window, but if it is, that's going to be a great game.
For sure. Definitely one to watch.
Actually, it looks like it's going to be in Cameroon.
There
So
we go.
they'll probably have to figure out how to get supporters over
Well,
there.
they'll find a way.
Indeed. Indeed. All right, let's keep chugging through here. So Algeria is qualified and from Group F. Tanzania, Uganda, and Niger, all still in it. Tanzania is on four, Uganda on four, Niger on two. Who do you like to come out of this group? I know you said Uganda previously. Are you still sticking with Uganda, or are you leaning a little more towards one of the other two?
So Uganda versus was it Tanzania? I think was the last game of no, it wasn't. I'm wrong. Rwanda Benin was the very last game because it got rescheduled.
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, so I did watch Uganda play Tanzania, and yeah, they split the series
They
and
both won 1-0 away from home over each other, which is just
right.
like every time you think one team's gonna jump ahead, like Tanzania, I thought had the edge, and
Yeah.
then couldn't even get a draw at home. So
Yeah. To be honest, neither team really was that impressive.
yeah.
So I don't know. It's a tough one to call. Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah. I don't want to make a call. I'm gonna fence sit on this one because what the heck? I'll just stay with Uganda. I'll just stay with the
Okay.
Cranes. Yeah.
I'm gonna stay with Tanzania here. I
All
think
right. There.
very slight edge to Tanzania, but I think it's wide open. Niger's not out of it either. I mean, they're
Right. Right.
totally in the mix still. So, yeah, I mean, I've got Tanzania as a lukewarm favorite with a 44% chance to qualify.
Yeah. So yeah, I'll stick with Uganda because they play Algeria next and they're probably
Yeah.
not going to win that game, but then at least they'll know that they have to go into the last game and have to
Right.
win it. It's like,
Right.
right? Whereas Tanzania is going to play Algeria with probably with on their last game, I think. And
Yeah.
yeah. So
Yeah, you never know. I mean, Algeria's already qualified too, so.
yeah, that's true. That's true. They might put their foot take their foot off the gas a little bit.
Yes.
But I just can't see it. I mean, I just think the quality, the what's the word I'm looking for? The gap in quality is so big between
Yeah.
Algeria and everybody else in that group. Like, I
I
think
think that
Algeria could trot
is,
out their second team and be okay.
I think that is totally fair. Okay. Group G. So Mali is looking very strong on 9 points. Gambia and Congo right behind on both on six though, and South Sudan on three, but not looking too great. I think you're still on Mali. I think I'm going to stick strongly with Mali qualifying. I mean, there's no reason they shouldn't. Who do you like out of Gambia and Congo?
Yeah, so I was actually pretty high on Congo. They are another team that, yes, for me has kind of come out of the blue a little bit. And I was feeling pretty good about them, and then the Gambia went and beat Mali. Which was a bit surprising, and I mean they really had to win that game and they found a way to do it. So yeah, again, it's another one of those. I think it's a real toss-up. So yeah, I don't know.
The numbers
Do you
are
think?
not nearly as kind. The We Global Football rankings are not nearly as kind to Congo. given the remaining schedule, and we've got Gambia a lot higher. So believe it or not, Gambia 90%, Congo 10%. Feels like the gap should not be that big, but
Yeah.
we've got a really sizable gap there.
That is pretty sizable. Yeah.
So, but I don't know. I mean, they're level on points headed into the final two match days, and if Congo finds a way, they're definitely not, 10% is probably not generous enough. And 90% for Gambia is probably a little overly generous, I would say. So, we will see. The Gambia hosts Congo on the final match day. So, if they're going into it level on points, it's definitely wide open.
For sure.
All right, Group H, Ivory Coast, the host has qualified automatically. Zambia is on the verge of qualifying, 6 points ahead of Comoros. Anything noteworthy you want to point out there? Did you see any Zambia? Are you feeling good about Zambia?
I did see Zambia. I did watch Zambia. I'm feeling good about Zambia. I like their team, very similar to South Africa, like the vibes from I'm sure it's with all the African teams, but it's just things that I get to
Zambia is
see.
a team that like it feels like they're never in it in World Cup qualifying, and they're always in it in AFCON
In
qualifying.
AFCON, yeah.
And it feels like Zambia is a team that like I'm excited to see what they do. I think they're a team that I think can make some noise.
I agree. I completely agree.
All right. Group I think is probably the most interesting group. So Gabon on 7 points, Sudan on 6 points, Mauritania on 5 points, and the Democratic Republic of the Congo on 4 points. Congo DR still in last place in this group. Headed into the match day, they weren't looking good. They got some favorable results. They're still at the bottom of the table. Who's coming out of this group? Because it is wide open.
Yeah, so So what an interesting group, right? Like there's only a 3-point gap between top and bottom, right? So, gosh, I mean, again, like flip a coin. Gabon, I'd say, seriously, I don't know. I have no
I
idea.
know.
I have no idea.
I think the results are bearing out that these four teams are not that different in quality. All of them, top to bottom. I mean, I would probably say of the four, Sudan is probably I don't know, no, weakest is not the right word, but like they've won a lot of games. If you were kind of starting from scratch, who would you pick to finish at the bottom? I think I would lean towards Sudan, but they're in a great spot. They're in second. Teams are fighting with each other. I think they're in a great spot, and I think they've got as good a chance as any of these other teams. I think I'd probably lean a little more towards Gabon ultimately finishing in the top two. I think it would be pretty surprising to me if Gabon somehow fell to third in this group or fourth. But this has been a fun group, and it's been unpredictable, and I always enjoy seeing groups like that where it's just, you don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And Gabon also has the guy at LAFC, Bouanga, right? Who like the he can't stop scoring. So I'm pretty sure he scored during this last window. I could be wrong. So but anyways, he's lighting it up for his club, and so that's always a nice, I guess, ace to have in your pocket. So yeah. What are your thoughts on Congo, DR Congo? So they got their first win. They got
Yeah,
points on the board.
they
Have they
did.
turned things around? Is this the
No.
beginning? No. Okay.
No, I don't think so. I think yes, they were able to pick up some points. But I don't know. I think they're still really struggling. I mean, they did get a draw at Mauritania, which I think was huge, and then also defeating Mauritania. It's like they're at least back in the excuse me. They're back in the conversation. Sorry about that.
No, you're good.
But yeah, I think they're still struggling, and I think they have struggled for a while. And I don't know. I mean, the final two matches are not going to be easy for them at all. They have to go to Gabon, and then the last match day they host Sudan. If they beat Sudan, that still may not be enough for them to win if they don't beat Gabon, because if they lose to Gabon, the max they can get is 7 points, and that may not be enough to get second place in this group. So I think their backs are against the wall, and that match against Gabon, if Gabon hasn't qualified, they're not going to ease up at all. It's their last home match. They're going to be looking for 3 points. I think Congo DR is in trouble still.
So I think you make a really good argument, very compelling argument. I actually disagree though. I think this is the start of something good. Right, like they've got the likes of Gael Kakuta in their team, right? Cedric Bakambu, right? These are names that I think a lot of us are familiar with, right? Theo Bongonda. We talked about it, I think, on the last one, right? You look at their squad and they should be doing way better than they are. And I think this last window, they finally were able to bring it together. So I'm probably gonna eat my words now in June when they don't qualify. Because you're right. I mean, they have two really tough games left. But
I think what so I don't disagree with where I think you're at in terms of the quality of the team. I think the schedule and their position in the table is working against them,
and that's fair.
because I think they need to get a point at Gabon, because if they lose, they max out at 7 points. If they lose to Gabon, they can't pass Gabon, and then Sudan and Mauritania play each other. And so one of them has to end up on at least 7 points. But if either of those teams win that match and Gabon beats Congo DR, Congo's out. They're eliminated before even the final match day. So I think they need to get it together. But if they are able to get at least something out of that match with Gabon, they're at least alive. Unless Sudan wins. So I don't know. I think they're like, again, kind of speaking about Sudan, where if you're starting from scratch, would you pick Congo DR to finish last? Probably not. But we're not. So I think that is working against them.
Right. Yeah. Well, backs against the wall, 6 points
Yes.
in June. They'll finish on 10 points and qualify.
Yeah.
No, I don't know.
Nice. I don't know.
All right. Let's shift down to Group J. So Tunisia qualified, and I think there's a team in here that I mentioned in our previous show that I had my eye on that definitely delivered in Equatorial Guinea.
Oh, yeah.
They're effectively on the verge of qualifying, 99.9% to qualify. They got a 6-point lead on Libya. Did you think it would be that easy for Equatorial Guinea?
No, I did not. I did not. And yeah, I mean, all credit to them. That's pretty impressive. So
Yeah.
they're looking really good, and they'll be a fun team to watch, at AFCON. So
I agree. I
yeah.
agree. They struggled a little bit with Botswana the second match, but they got the 3 points, which ultimately is what they needed. So
Right.
they're looking really good. Group K, Morocco and South Africa have qualified. I'm not going to spend too much time on, we talked about South Africa and Morocco finishing ahead of Liberia is not really a surprise. Group L, Senegal's qualified. And then the second spot in Group L is lastly up for grabs. We've got Mozambique on 4 points, Rwanda on 3 points, Benin on 2 points. Who do you like out of those three teams?
Yeah, so I did watch the Rwanda Benin game. That was the last game of this international window. And yeah, once again, like, neither team really impressed me that
Yeah.
much. So yeah, I'll stick by Mozambique to just kind of finish it out, even though
Yeah.
I mean they've now played Senegal twice, lost both, but I think they're capable of getting a result against the other two. So that's kind of where I stand. What about you?
I'm gonna lean Mozambique a little bit. I've not been impressed by any of those three teams though. But I think it's I think it could go either way. I think the real benefit here for the three teams is not playing Senegal. And that is something that Mozambique has that the other two teams do not.
Correct.
And so I think Mozambique has a lead and they also don't play Senegal. And I think ultimately that's going to work in their favor and allow them to qualify. But another team that I think, when you're talking about African teams, doesn't come up a lot in conversation. And not a team that I follow too much about in Mozambique. Do you know much about Mozambique and kind of where they're at?
I can't say that I do. I don't want to, I don't want to shoot the breeze or whatever,
Yeah.
but I am looking at their squad right now. So they've got a lot of players that play in Portugal in the first division. And that makes sense. I'm pretty sure they were a colony for
They are. Yeah,
Portugal or
they have
yeah.
that Portuguese connection.
Yeah. One player playing for Vaduz in Liechtenstein. And yeah, that's about it. Player in
Yeah.
Finland. So yeah, I mean, you wouldn't say this is like
Yeah.
incredibly strong, but
Yeah. They do have
sometimes all.
Reinildo at Atletico. So he's one that I am a little familiar with as well. So I think he's typically in their main squad. It doesn't look like he was this last window.
Oh yeah, there he is. Yeah, I see him. Yeah.
So
Okay. Yeah.
We will see.
We will.
We will. So it looks like for Africa, it's the schedule's been changed and adjusted with World Cup and COVID and so forth. It looks like Africa's actually going to play only one game in June, and then the final match day is going to be in September. So it looks like they're going to resume in June. Presumably, you know, they'll probably pick up some friendlies and not just play the one game, the one AFCON qualifier, and probably, you know, the same in September. But still some time to go before the conclusion of Africa Cup of Nations qualifying. It started in June 2022, and it's going to take them 15 months to get six matches played. So
gotta love it.
I think ultimately, I don't know if, I don't know what they're going to do, if they're just going to like switch to even years and get, you know, the schedule back and forth. So I think the World Cup messed things up. So we'll see. Africa's behind.
Yeah, they are.
So we will see. But that is Africa. And so we're down to the final two match days. Seven spots have been secured and 17 still to go among the 24 finalists.
There we go.
Thank you.